Good morning. Our first scripture reading comes from Genesis 11, 1 through 9. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as they migrated from the east, they came upon a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves, otherwise we shall be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which mortals had built. And the Lord said, "Look, they are one people, and they all have one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do. Nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language there, so they will not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth. And they left off building the city. Therefore it was called Babel, because the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. This is the word of the Lord.
Our second scripture reading comes from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven, there came down a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues, as of fire, appeared to them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now, there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in their own native language. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own language, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea, all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it's only 9 in the morning. Now this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So thanks, Ben, for allowing me to take your pulpit away from you today. I always like to have an idea of where I am. I don't know, the older I get, I just want to know where I am at the moment. And I'm at Tacoma, Washington, right? This is in that place? And so I had to Google this morning, so this information I'm about to share with you, you probably already know, but I just had to do it just to have a sense of being in Tacoma. Tacoma, from the Salish Indian word for the mountain that provided water to their tribe. And then, of course, later it was changed to Mount Okay, thank you. I wanted to get the correct pronunciation of that. I know if I allowed you to do that, I would have said something else. But anyway, the name suggests images of strength and power. Or the name suggests a Toyota truck. Okay? So that's kind of the way Pentecost is, and that's kind of the way we're going to approach it today. It could be strength and power, or it could be a Toyota truck. I was watching a talk show recently where the interviewer was interviewing some bodybuilders. I don't often watch stuff like this, but I was watching it this particular day, and the interviewer asked the bodybuilder a question. What do you use all those muscles for? One guy answered by flexing his muscles in one of the bodybuilding type of poses, and the interviewer said, no, you don't understand me. What do you use all those muscles for? The guy said, I'll show you. And again he flexed, posing in another way. No, you still don't understand my question. Read my lips. What do you use them for? And of course the guy posed again. Well, the tragedy is that too often that can be kind of like the church. It can kind of be like us as human beings. We're sitting on this unbelievable power source called the Holy Spirit, and yet we can be way too content with just being pew dwellers, or in this case, theater seat dwellers. Or we can even become like the good folks in the passage from Genesis and become slightly individualistic. Build a city just for us. A place where we speak only one language. You know, a place that we don't have to worry about communication and living with each other. It's just us and them. I mean, this old world's getting out of hand, isn't it? Let's make it the way it used to be, where it was just Christian, right? Now, we may babble, but we know what we are saying. Our group knows what we're saying. Well, that was the temptation of this church in the story of Pentecost, wasn't it? Into this kind of world, into this tower-building, wall-building kind of world, comes a mighty rushing wind. Because you see, the fire was almost out, wasn't it? And what better way to get a fire going? And I know this because I love a good fire. I'm not, you know, don't get worried about me. I love a good fire. You know, the fire pit out back, or a fire on a good camping trip. And there's no better way to get a fire that's dying going than to what? Blow on it. The text says that they were in one place, the room. It says in the lead up, though, into the text in Acts 2, that they had gotten together in this room, 120 of them. Now, there was something before what we read today, and let's just call it another boring church meeting. They asked the crazy question that we're still asking today, what now? What do we do? The one item of business that night was to elect a replacement for Judas. The fire that had been with them and Jesus was just about to go out. They too had turned inward, just like those building the tower back in Genesis. And you could say their self-sufficiency was not going too well. Has the temptation of the church not always been to build the walls higher, to keep them out, because we're just doing fine, aren't we? Keep them out of the bathrooms in North Carolina. Keep them out of ordained ministry, United Methodists, because they're not like us. They don't speak the same language. Yes, even those who call ourselves progressive, though, we too must watch the temptation to let wall building come into play. Now, on that Pentecost day, something new was born. A dream of a new church. Urban grace, country grace, rural grace, small town grace. As Michael Jenkins says, on that day, and this is powerful, on that day, a breathtaking reversal of the story of the Tower of Babel happened. At Pentecost, People came together despite their differences. Babel becomes communication. And a new kind of community comes into play. Kind of like the beautiful city that was sung about in the Broadway show Godspell. The walls that divide people coming down, being blown down by this wind, this spirit. Now, of course, all that were gathered that day were in agreement on all this, right? They all were in total agreement about this Holy Spirit deal. Maybe not, because it says, but others sneered and said, they are filled with new wine. In other words, they're just downright drunk. Now, many years ago, I used to teach some courses in some public high schools across the United States in this program that I was a part of called Students on the Edge. The students were in these classes because of some serious behavioral issues. I remember one day writing on the blackboard, because I was always trying to think of new ways to connect. Most of them never did. But I remember writing on the blackboard one day, in big letters, apathy. Now a senior sitting in the front row leaned back, looked up, and began to mouth the letters. A-P-A-T-H-Y. Finally, he said in his senior wisdom, apathy. Now what in the heck is that anyway? I was just about to lay into this senior when the guy next to him slumped in his chair as well, leaned over and said, who cares? Thank God you got the humor there. The proverb says, without vision, the people will atrophy, shrivel up, and die. The Spirit blows to get us out, off the pew, out of our apathy and into visions and dreams, into boldness. Or as my good friend, Reverend Matthew Crebin, this gives you some idea of where I might be from, of Newtown Congregational Church declares, we have allowed fear and apathy to rule when it comes to guns in America. We have allowed the status quo to become perfectly acceptable. As a result, every year, 30,000 precious lives, each one created in God's image, are added to a tally that is already too high. But Jesus said that we would be able to do even greater works when the Spirit comes than Jesus did. I always keep coming back to that. To think that I can do even bigger things than Jesus did when the Spirit comes at Pentecost. Wow, what adventure we're in for if we let the Spirit come. Some 10 years ago, I had a vision of sorts. I was serving in a downtown church, and the area around the church, sounds kind of like Tacoma, doesn't it? The area around the church was trying to make a comeback. So I had a vision of sorts. As a downtown church, it was surrounded by artists and musicians. I thought, with the help of some other people, thinking, let's create a place on the lower level of our building that had recently been vacated by a group of senior adults. They moved to a nicer facility. We were in a 150-year-old building. Sound similar? A place, though, for musicians to play. Artists to display art, a community gathering place for political debates, and a good place for good speakers to speak on topics to enrich the community. So 2 years after the vision, we opened the Soul Cafe. And man, we had a killer Dion sign just like yours out front. We had killer coffee, a killer atmosphere, and the coolest thing happened though. Artists and musicians said over and over again, we had lost hope in the church. This place is great. Thank you for reminding us what the church can be. It all started with a vision, a dream, shared with others, and it grew and it grew. Because you see, the Lord still works in mysterious ways. The Spirit blows when we allow the Spirit to live out of us. Because we're not meant to be pew dwellers or theater seaters. What are some of the greater works that Jesus might be calling you to do that are meant to be a part of our visioning and our dreaming as a church and as individuals? Call me naive, but I honestly believe that a fresh wind is blowing today, beginning to blow down walls between religions. I know it's hard to believe sometimes, but I really believe it's blowing. I've spent a lot of time in the past couple of years with some Muslim and Jewish friends, and we're standing with one another. Our babble is turning into communication, and we're beginning to see this much bigger God that we all have in common. Churches are beginning to rethink what it means to be church and how the old walls may need to become a little more fluid. Marching in the Pride Parade, standing with many races on the steps of our church and declaring that black lives do matter, declaring that God is still speaking with the rainbow banner out front. Radical hospitality, fearless conversation. At Pentecost, some crazy things happened that turned ordinary people like Peter and John into bold and courageous healers and preachers. Walls that divide came down. As a friend of mine said in a sermon on Pentecost a few years back, he asked the question, when's the last time you were accused of being drunk on new wine and you had not actually been drinking? Think about that question for a while. Are we allowing this new wine to flow? John Powell once said, very few of us ever even approach the realization of our full potential. I accept the estimate that the average person accomplishes only 10% of his promise, sees only 10% of the beauty around him, and tastes only a tenth of the deliciousness of being alive. Open to only 10% of their emotions, tenderness, wonder, and awe. And he closes by saying, I would hate to think that you and I would die without ever having really loved or really lived. It's a rushing wind. Great spirit, as the Native Americans say. Blow down the walls that divide. Blow in our hearts. Create some visions of a more inclusive city, an inclusive church and world. The fire was almost out that day, and the spirit blew down the walls. Motivate us, O Lord. Change us. Lead us into all the world with vision and hope and a lot more communication than babble. Blow, great spirit, blow. And remember, Tacoma, strength and power. So share the spirit and let the water run down from the mountain. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen.